All right, this next presentation is Living a Life Dedicated to Justice. This gentleman I've had the privilege of getting to know over the last couple years. He's got an extensive description of his accomplishments over the years. We're short on time, so I won't give it all to you, but I will let you know that he's been blind since birth. He has worked for 30 years in the legal profession. Since 2001, he has worked for the Calgary Police Service, where he provides various expertise as the Director of Legal Services, a lived experience most of us don't have as blind people. And you may say, well, why would we want to hear from a guy from Canada? Well, you know, we are an organization. We think we've done great work in the U.S., but we also know, speaking of partnerships, that it's important. And our blind colleagues in Canada, we share a lot being on this same continent together in terms of advocacy and things we can do. And this gentleman has shared his great interest with me in the conversations that we've had the opportunity to have in recent years, especially as he has been serving as the chair of the board for the CNIB in Canada, and he is bringing a great spirit of being blind-centered there. He's shown a lot of interest in our blind agency pledge, as a matter of fact. So I'm pleased to introduce for a presentation, a friend of the National Federation of the Blind from Canada. Here's Robert Fenton.
Thanks, everybody. I expected coming up here with the music, I might hear something from Dragnet, but Mark came up with something different. It's a pleasure to be here. It's going to be a fast talk because I see that we're behind on the agenda. So this is usually what happens to us in court. The judge says, you were supposed to have 30 minutes. Guess what? You got 10. So we're used to that. In this talk, I hope to make you laugh. I'm probably going to make you angry. And there's going to be times that I hope that I can inspire you. So here goes. As President Riccobono said, I've been with the Calgary Police Service for 30 years, and I've had three positions there. First, I was legal counsel for 20 of those years. I then served as interim general counsel when my boss resigned. And due to a restructuring, I then became the director of legal services with the Calgary Police Service. And I've held that position now for since early 2022. In that role, I manage a team of 15, which includes lawyers, project managers, and administrative assistants. And I'm proud to call them my friends and my colleagues because they have been an outstanding group to work with. I'm going to start off with a story that literally happened my very first day on the job. And I was young and I was impressionable, and I was talking to my assistant in her office, and a deputy chief came in. And these were the first words out of his mouth. You'd expect him to say, "Hi, I'm Deputy Chief so-and-so." But it wasn't that. It was, and I quote, "You better be a good goddamn lawyer." And I said, "What?" He says, "You know, you've asked me to spend a whole bunch of money to make an elevator accessible in our very old building, and it's going to cost $5,000. You better be a good lawyer." And I said, "First of all, I didn't ask you for anything. I've never even met you. So how could I ask you for anything?" And I said, "If you want to know what I need, why don't you ask me? And then we're going to get off on a much better foot." So as he leaves the office, he says, and I quote again, "You better be a good goddamn lawyer." So I thought to myself, what on earth have I done here? And then I thought, things can only go up from here. Another lesson I learned early on was that police officers in Canada are not actually employees of a police service. They are office holders. And why this matters is because, in addition to having a traditional boss relationship, police officers also owe a duty to the law itself, to enforce the law, to administer the law, etc. Why this is important is because it leads to another behavior that we sometimes see from police officers, is that their work is the most important work ever, even more than their individual colleagues. So being a lawyer with the police service, you're often spending a lot of time negotiating priorities between people. So your job isn't just about law, it's about managing politics, and it's about managing issues. And one of the things that I have found that has allowed me to be successful is being able to make the hard decision to tell a more senior ranked officer that their work has to wait because I have a constable or I have a detective in court that needs something right now. Or we have a bunch of protesters out on the street destroying property and the incident commander needs help right away. And being able to live and work in the moment like that and being able to adjust priorities is something that has stood me in good stead with the police. And much of that ability comes from the fact that as a blind person, I've often had to make changes throughout my life because maybe technology didn't work or textbooks weren't available or other things weren't available that I needed, and I had to reprioritize so that I could still function and move forward. And that has helped me very much in my policing work. Another thing to note too about police officers is they don't care about blindness. They take the perspective that if you are good at your job, you provide good work to them, you meet their needs on time, and you listen to them, and you respect and value them, you're good. There's none of this stuff that I used to see in the corporate world where people were afraid about blindness and how is he going to find his way to the courtroom and, you know, how is it going to look with him walking into court with a dog? And none of that stuff matters now. Not with this population. The most important thing is that, especially in today's society, you're there to protect them, you're there to listen to them, you're there to respect them, and you're there to make sure that when their message is sent to the community, it's presented fairly, objectively, and in full response to the concerns that have been raised. And that has not always been the case. And as we've seen that especially around the time of George Floyd, where there was a lot of assumptions made on both sides of what the other people believed and what they thought. And the whole incident with George Floyd was good for policing, I would say, because it caused us to look at ourselves and to look at our reality and see what we needed to change. And it was a privilege to be part of those discussions and to work with the black community to make things better. I would never change that experience for anything. Another thing about police officers is they absolutely love meetings. They love to talk, they love to share stories, they love to show the greatest pieces of technology that they just found out about, and they love to share their latest and greatest programs with you. And that's great for us because in an oral environment, we work very well. Difficulties occur, though, when they come in, especially the more senior officers or some of the civilians. I got this great PowerPoint for you to look at, and I just finished it. And, of course, we don't have access to it. So often what I've been doing with them is I've been saying, look, let's walk through it, talk me through it. I'm going to take it away, and I'm not going to give you advice right now because I actually want to read it and digest it for myself. So next time you actually want my answer today, share the stuff with me in advance, and that way I can tell you today, now you're going to have to wait. And It's amazing how quickly they learn. And I see that behavior a lot less now than I used to. Another quality that we see, and it's because of how we train police officers, we train police officers on a values basis, and we have core values in our organization that we like officers to follow, and we have seven in Calgary. I'm not going to go through them all now because I'm worried about time. But one of the values that we talk about is compassion. And compassion, as it relates to blindness, can often have some very interesting turns. Because the term compassion seems to require police officers to think that they need to protect. And in some cases, they do. But when I'm their colleague and I'm a high-functioning blind person and I've, you know, been fairly successful, I don't need protection. But what I do need is to be able to work with you respectfully and well and with the appropriate technological support when I need it. Where this came up for me one time was when I was replacing my last dog. And I submitted a request to the chief to take the time off to go away and get her. And I got a note back from the chief saying, and through his executive officer saying, well, we want to know if we need to send somebody with you. And I politely said, no, that wasn't necessary. I've traveled all around the world with sports, and I've been fairly independent all my life. My parents taught me that independence was important since I was 2.5 years old. So, I politely declined the request. But I later learned that this was a more deep-seated problem, that there was things going on behind the scenes where people were making assumptions about what I could not do and what I could do without me knowing about them. Because I've always focused on doing the best work I could, and I always honestly thought that doing good work would be what decided how well I did within an organization. And then there was a stage back in 2016 where I learned that I was dead wrong. And what happened was the legal services area was being restructured by a new chief who had just come in, and he decided to put somebody in the top management position that I thought I was probably the best qualified for. I'd been there the longest, I had the best relationships, I knew what needed to be done to improve the area, all those things. He put somebody else in the position without even a competition, and without telling me until it had already happened. I was crushed. It was one of those things where I really thought hard and long about whether or not I could stay there. So the lesson in this for me was, okay, find out why, find out what skills they perceived I was missing, and God forbid, change the misperceptions of what people were thinking and saying about me. Because that's the only way things are going to change. And it was this event that caused me to, A, get the help I needed, and also to come back into the disability advocacy movement and to say to the rest of society, things have to change. So on that very light note, I'm going to talk about technology. And cops love technology. There's a saying in our organization, see shiny object. Let's play with shiny object. Let's get shiny object. So as a blind person, this is great because I have never once had a challenge getting a Braille device that I needed, getting JAWS, or any of the other access technology that I needed. All I had to do was ask and at least come up with two or three good reasons why I needed it. It was like, cool, you got it. Because it's a shiny object and it's wonderful and it'll make things better. It'll solve all your problems. Just ask the manufacturer. So that has a downside too. Because what happens is people assume that because you have the technology, you can make any software program work. And that's true of the office applications that we on the civilian side regularly use. You know, your Word, your Outlook, your PowerPoint, your Teams, etc. Where it doesn't apply is in the policing world, where there are a lot of applications used that do not use standard user conventions for Windows. So you start, and you know, you talk to the manufacturers, it's like, oh, this is accessible, we tested it. And I said, how'd you test it? Well, I turned the screen on, I used a mouse, I installed JAWS, I went into the field and it talked, so it must be accessible. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. So we've had some discussions about that, and the other thing that I hear is, oh, I'm sorry, what am I supposed to do? What do I do about this? Can you imagine if somebody presented an issue that where there was discrimination happening on the basis of gender and race, or race, and somebody said, I don't know what to do? They would be laughed out of the community. And this highlights a stage that I think we're at in Canada, where we need to bring disability to the forefront and hold people accountable to the point where our concerns are treated as being as valid as those presented by women and those presented by racialized people. And that isn't to take away from any of the concerns that these groups have raised, because they are valid and they are legitimate. We don't want to take their space away. We just want to play in the same sandbox. Now, I do have some recommendations, and I'll go through quickly, because even I can see the look from President Rico Bono saying, hurry up. The first one goes to Dr. Robertson and her team of Braille instructors and others who teach blind students Braille. And that is, we need to start our kids early on working in teams. And I don't mean teams the program. I mean in groups of people. Too often, people who are blind are excluded from group projects because the project itself is inaccessible, or the other students don't have the skills or the wherewithal to work with another blind student. And that can't happen, because teams are essential in the workplace today. Law enforcement is all about teams, and it's not just about teams within your organization. I work on a number of teams with other organizations as well, where we have a combined project and we have to solve a community problem. How do you do that if you don't know how to manage conflict? How do you do that if you deal with individuals who don't have the same goals as you? How do you do that when you're dealing with people with different disciplinary experience? You can't, unless you've been taught the process of forming, norming, storming, performing, and celebrating as a team. And we can say that as blind people, we've done this. We've worked in chapters, we've worked in divisions, we've worked in state affiliates, we've done all those things. Problem is, it's not the same. Because we as blind people, we have shared goals for the most part. But we're also not taught very well as young people how to deal with conflict. Because most of us, or many of us, are taught that conflict is something to be avoided or to be feared. And actually, I love conflict. I thrive on it. Because that's how you get your work done, as you have constructive debate about different points of view and you come up with something better. So I love it. So let's get more teams happening. Let's get more group work happening involving blind people as early as elementary school. Goal number two is find an absolutely trusted ally or group of allies that will give you honest feedback about what you're doing. somebody telling you, your work's fine. If they tell you that, fire them immediately. What you want is objective, honest feedback about what you do well and what you don't do well. Because guess what? All of us have things to work on. I know I do. And I'm happy to say that, and I want to keep learning, and I want to keep getting better. But that's what we all have to do. We all have to go in with a mindset that we are open, prepared, and willing to accept constructive criticism. And hold people accountable to make sure that you get your performance reviews and make sure you get that feedback that you need. That's the only way you get better. Number three, absolutely, absolutely make sure that you are clear about what you want and what you don't want within your workplace. Don't let the rumor mill take hold. It is a devastating thing in police services. People make decisions based on rumors. People rely on what they hear on rumors. They are dangerous, and they are wrong, and they are insidious, and they are problematic. Don't let them take hold. Be clear about what you want. And the last piece of advice I'm going to give you is don't do this alone. You have an amazing peer support network within the NFB. Rely on it. Use it. Learn from it. Take the criticism that we will inevitably receive from it and get better. Because that's how we're going to show the world that people who are blind are worth having on your team, are worth including, and are valued. In closing, I'd like to say thank you for having me. If people have questions, I'm on LinkedIn. I should be easy to find based on now that I've told you what my title is. I'm happy to take questions. I'm here until tomorrow. If you run into me in the hallways or in the restaurants, I'm happy to hear from you. So thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you. You're welcome. Thanks.